You found your home for real sports talk for real sports fans. 1700 KBGG.
Hey, everybody. Welcome in on a Monday. Jim and Trent, we say hello to you here on the Big Talker, 1700. And you can always get in on the show at 264-1700. Again, that phone number is 264-1700. Terrific show lined up today. Coming up in about 15 minutes from right now, Tom Kakert, Hawkeye Report, will be our guest. At 440, Pete Mundo from CBS and Big 12 Heartland Sports. 5 o'clock, Zub Mahente from ESPN. And then at 5:30, Wolfgang joins the program. Trent had a good weekend, right?
Yeah, not too bad. Jimmy B, the highs and lows of the college football weekend. Iowa State on the high note, a place where not a lot of people thought that the streak was going to continue down there against Texas Tech after what happened a year ago, 66-10. You wondered how that was going to reverberate through the buildings down in Lubbock. They get it done and now setting up a showdown. Yeah, game day's not going to be there, but that should not take away from what this game is, what it means, and Iowa State playing for the outright division lead in the Big 12. I mean, absolutely incredible where this team is, a chance to be a leg up on Oklahoma, a leg up on TCU. Tiebreakers going their way. Oh, dogs are marrying cats. What is going on in this world, Jimmy B?
You're absolutely right, pal. And remember, they're doing it with a walk-on quarterback, a guy who came in when Jacob Park declared, you know, I can't go. And all of a sudden, they have hit their stride. They don't make major mistakes, although the interception in the Texas Tech game early in that first quarter, you know what that told me, Trent? After they came back and then they marched right down the field and tied the game, right then I thought that Iowa State was going to win that game going away. I really did. They just imposed their will. It was obvious that Kyle Kemp is not a guy who thinks about what happened. He's a guy who is planning what I'm going to do. And he's got that defensive back mentality where you have to forget everything right away. And he was able to do that. And that seriously turned the tide when they went right down the field and punched in that first quarter touchdown. It was an amazing performance, and I cannot believe that we are sitting here today. We knew that the offense would put points on the board, but we thought that their defense would not be able to have the capability to, I don't want to say shut down, but control high-powered offenses in the Big 12. But Trent, they're doing that right now.
They are, and this is a different kind of, you know, winning streak that they're on. First of all, the first time since, I believe, the 1960s that they've won three consecutive road games. I mean, that it's incredible in its own right. Three consecutive wins in the Big 12. And the way that they bounced back after that loss to Texas and how quickly things could have gone sideways for them. And they're out there. And the thing that I love about this is it's not just them finding something crazy that's working out. And they're catching people off guard. They're just going out, they're playing physically sound football, and they're beating teams. It's not smoke and mirrors. It's not some kind of new goofy formation that has everybody thrown off. It's nothing like that. They're just going out and beating football teams and beating pretty good football teams. We know how good and talented Oklahoma is, but then to go down to Lubbock and to do it in that fashion and not screw around with Kansas and just put them away early in that football game and on and on and on, the sky's the limit for this team. I mean, there is a lot still to be determined, certainly, with this. And I asked earlier today, I asked Ken the same question. I pose it to you, Jimmy B. You only have two options here. And I know you love to waffle and go back and forth and say, well, what about this? No, there's none of that, all right? You have two options and two choices only. What is more likely to happen with this Iowa State football team? Five games remaining. Five games against all decent competition. We know Baylor's winless, but you can see that Baylor team is taking steps forward under Matt Rhule. And they came roaring back and just about were able to clip West Virginia. But five games left, all winnable, but also all losable. You know, they're not a big favorite in any of those football games. At the end, the two easiest, Baylor and Kansas State, but both of those are on the road. What's more likely? We see Iowa State playing for the Big 12 championship, not winning that game, but just getting there, or them losing out and finishing 5-7. What's more likely to happen Only those two scenarios, nothing else. Win, lose out, and finish 5-7, or play for a Big 12 title. What's more likely to happen in the world of Jim Brinson?
I cannot see them losing five straight games. I just don't see that happening. So I would say that they will win, even if they lose to TCU at home this coming weekend, they will win at least one more game and finish at 6-6. So I would have to say that I would take playing for the Big 12 title instead of dropping five straight. I can't see this team, not in the mindset that it has right now, not in the physicality that it has right now, and not in the football playing ability that it has right now, that it would drop five straight games, Trent.
But 6-6 doesn't get you playing for the Big 12 title, Jimmy B.
I get that. But you gave me no wiggle room, so
right,
I
so,
don't see.
So answer
I
the
don't,
question.
I am. I told you. I'm going to take them playing for the Big 12 title.
So you think it's more likely that they go 4-1 down the stretch as opposed to 0-5?
Well, you only gave me two scenarios.
Exactly.
The other scenario was they would lose five straight games and finish 5-7.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see that scenario, so I have to take number one. I'm going to door number one instead of door number two.
So you see them beating Baylor, Kansas State, TCU, and either West Virginia or Oklahoma State. You think that's
not
likely?
It's not out of the realm of possibility.
I agree with you. I think it's more likely.
What?
Yes. Yeah.
You do?
Yes, it's more likely that this team goes 4-1 down the stretch than 0-5. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely
yeah.
It is. And at that point, they're sitting there at 7-2, and more than likely, they're playing for the championship. They're playing for a shot to get into the Cotton Bowl. I mean, think of that. Think of that scenario and the pilgrimage that's going to happen. If this team gets to the Big 12 championship game, we see the way that year after year that they travel to Kansas City. And this is different. It's a longer drive. It's not 3 hours down to Kansas City. You know, it's getting down to Dallas. But a Saturday game, national spotlight, the way this fan base supports their program. Think of the pilgrimage heading down to I-35 for the Big 12 championship game.
It would be packed. I mean, the freeway would be absolutely packed. Flights would be stacked headed to Dallas as well. And look, this just doesn't happen to Iowa State, Trent. You've lived in Iowa your entire life. You know it. And so this would be a whole brand new scope of athletic achievement for Iowa State University. Yeah, have they pulled off some upsets? Yes, they have.
Mm-hmm.
Beat Oklahoma State in a monster upset. Then went to Oklahoma and pulled off that big upset. So, I mean, it's not like that they have pulled off big upsets before in the past, because they have. They went to Nebraska a few years back, won there. So, but this is different. This is a totally different dynamic, and the believability that the coaching staff has in the players and the players with their believability in the coaching staff, I think everybody is on the same page. It will take a team like TCU and TCU's defense to put the kibosh on Iowa State's offense, because I think Iowa State pretty much, with the exception of that Texas game, can move the ball on just about anybody now with the confidence and the level of play that they are certainly playing at.
This game is a monster, and we are going to be talking about it a whole lot this week. We got Tom Caker coming up here in just a little bit. We'll talk some Hawkeyes with him and get his thoughts on the loss to Northwestern. But, Jimmy B, this is my favorite rivalry game for Iowa. Growing up a Hawkeye fan, growing up with family in Minnesota and going up to games at the Metrodome back in the day, this is my favorite rivalry game. But I'll tell you what, I'm certainly a lot more excited for TCU-Iowa State. The Floyd of Rosedale game, it takes a backseat. Not very often for me, but there's no doubt it is going to be taking a big backseat this week for this team. And you go through in the stories that are continuing to emerge. Iowa State, we wondered. Offensive line, I told you all throughout the summer, Jim, I felt that Tom Manning had built up enough credence after what he did with that offensive line a year ago that they were going to be fine. But I still had huge question marks up front. The guys that were coming back, Vernell Trent, was just kind of a guy. He was a nice player, but he's taken a huge step in his senior year. Same thing with J.D. Wagner. You know, that guy's out there making big plays. And then the young guys, Ray Lima, just patrolling the middle, clogging up space, doing what you want to happen out of a nose tackle. He's been a stud. Yeah, Carson Lensing starting to come along. And on and on and on, these young guys. And the way this Iowa State team looks, the way that they play, chip on their shoulder, and then the quarterback, Kyle Kemp. This guy didn't play for 5 years, Jimmy B. He's not going to wow you with his arm strength. You know, he's not going to be throwing just ropes on a line on a 20-yard stop route. That's not who he is. But his accuracy is able to stand tall in the pocket, pressure around him. He doesn't get happy feet. He just makes the throw. And for not playing football, Jim, for 5 years, the guy didn't play football in a competitive environment for 5 years. And here he is, and he just looks like he's been out there. He's a fifth-year senior that's been playing over the last 4 years. That's what he looks like. That tells you a lot about Coach Manning, Coach Campbell, and the rest of that offensive staff getting him in that spot. It's an incredible story. This, to me, is bigger than the Joel Lanning story. We know Joel Lanning's a great athlete. We know that he is a guy that can make plays on the football field. This guy that hasn't played, and for him to not miss a beat, step in against Oklahoma and beat that football team. And you know what? If Kyle Kemp wasn't the quarterback over these last three games, I don't think there's any way they're 3-0 with Jacob Park manning the controls.
You know what? I'm going to agree with you on that particular point. After I saw what happened in the Texas game, with Park at quarterback and how erratic he was and how poorly he played in that game, yet the defense kept them in that contest. I'm with you. I don't think Kemp gets rattled. I think that he, and you're right, he's not going to throw it 60 yards on a rope, but they don't need to. And they hit those quick slants, or it's 20 yards, and a 6'5 receiver goes up over a 5'10 defender, makes the play. I mean, we see that in game after game after game. In fact, the touchdown pass that he threw to Alan Lazard, Lazard just ran to a spot in the end zone. The ball was already out of Kemp's hands, and Lazard hadn't even turned around yet. But he knew exactly where he needed to get to, made his turn, and the defensive back was still running into the end zone. And he wasn't even within 3 feet of Alan Lazard, who caught the ball easily for a touchdown. Those are things, when you see things like that, you can tell that the offense is on the same page. And they finally are feeding David Montgomery as well, who ran for 160 yards against Texas Tech. And this is a guy that needs to get the ball. He's one of those workhorse kind of guys. And you got to let him do his thing. And, yeah, he might only pick up two here, four here, one here, and then, boom, he breaks it for 35. So you got to feed the beast. And right now, Matt Campbell and his staff are hitting on all cylinders, Trent.
That Montgomery run late in the fourth quarter, basically putting the football a game away. He just falls into the pile, and there he comes, and 58 yards later, he's iced the football game. I mean, the guy is ridiculous. And, you know, I'm a big fan of Pro Football Focus and the numbers that they have. Kind of a different way of looking at things. Sometimes you wonder, you know, how exactly do they derive at these numbers? But what I do know, they love David Montgomery and what he does and the breaking of tackles that he has. They have him ranked right now overall their third best running back in the country, behind only Bryce Love of Stanford and Saquon Barkley. Pretty good company for David Montgomery right now.
Man, I'd say so. You're right about that. I mean, he's right there. He really is. And he can catch the ball coming out of the backfield. Look, it's a team that I think after the Texas game, and then they went to Oklahoma and everything changed. And then they got lucky with Kansas coming in, played on a miserable afternoon, and you're right, they did exactly what they needed to do. Went out, pile-drived them into the ground in the first half, and Kansas wanted no part of the second half, and it was way over early in that game. But then going on the road to Texas Tech, against a team that had improved their defense, that was playing solid offensive football and putting numbers on the board, and Trent shutting them down, shutting them down to 13 points. And that just doesn't happen to a Texas Tech team, particularly in Lubbock to a Texas Tech team. So that was very impressive with what they did there.
And a head-scratching just game plan from Texas Tech. And Nick Siemiec, he throws 41 times for 207, everything underneath. They ran the football 41 times. A weird game plan, certainly, from Texas Tech, too. Well, we do know Iowa State 5-2, and TCU comes to town with first place on the line in the Big 12. We'll come back on the other side, get onto the Hawkeye side of things. Not nearly as bright and peachy over there. We'll talk with Tom Kaker from HawkeyeReport.com. He's next on Jimmy B and TC.
1700 KBGG brings you Westwood One coverage of the NFL all season long through the Super Bowl.
Hey, it's Jimmy B.
And TC for Draft House 50 on Mills Civic Parkway in West Des Moines.
Hey, Draft House 50 has 47 big screen TVs for great viewing of any game.
Football, basketball, baseball, hockey, golf, tennis, you name it.
Hey, the Draft House 50 can get it, even cricket? Draft House 50 has a sensational menu featuring specialty burgers, steaks, salads, and so much more.
And on Saturday and Sunday, beginning at 10 a.m., it's brunch, which includes a terrific Bloody Mary bar.
The Draft House 50, a place for sports, great food, and drinks.
Draft House 50, Mill Civic Parkway in West Des Moines.
Brought to you by Indeed.com. Are you hiring? Join the over 3 million businesses that use Indeed.com for hiring. Post your next job opening on the world's number one job site, Indeed.com.
Jim Gray from Westwood One with a Monday Night Football preview. And it should be a good one as the 5-1 Philadelphia Eagles host the 3-2 Washington Redskins. The Eagles have won four straight and one of the most prolific offenses in the league. Head coach Doug Peterson says their success starts with second-year quarterback Carson Wentz.
Just standing in the pocket and staring down blitzes and still delivering the football, which he did, those are also signs of toughness, and those resonate throughout your football team, especially your quarterback who can stand in there and take the punishment and at the same time deliver a 16-yard throw down the middle of the field.
Kirk Cousins and Washington will be looking to pick up their first NFC East win and get revenge for their season-opening loss to the Eagles. Kevin Harlan and Boomer Esiason will have the call on Monday Night Football.
Remember to listen to Westwood One's coverage of the NFL all season long. Right here on the Big Talker, 1700 KBGG.
Napa Know-How.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know-How.
Napa Know-How.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
I love to play it safe, especially when it comes to my facility and my guys. Everyone's got their PPE. Safe boots, safe goggles, safe gloves, safe everything. If I could make the vending machine safer around here, I would. Believe me, I've tried. That's why I love Grainger. When it comes to safety, Grainger's got my back. They help keep my facility safe and my people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, it's Trent Condon here from Jimmy B and TC. If you've been talking and thinking about improving your health, I have an idea for you. Do what I did. Call New Leaf Wellness. My weight had been increasing, my endurance during workouts was waning, and I was just feeling sluggish. New Leaf Wellness put together a program to help me lose weight, improve my energy, and they can do the same for you. Call New Leaf Wellness today at 515-650-1358 to schedule a free, no obligation consultation. That's 515-650-1358. 1358 for New Leaf Wellness. And tell them TC sent you.
Black and Cardinal Divide is the first website dedicated to the Cy-Hawk rivalry. We cover both the Hawkeyes and the Cyclones.
This is Cody, and I cover Iowa State.
And I'm Derek, his younger brother, who covers the Hawkeyes.
We'd like to encourage you to jump over to bcdivide.com. Tune in Wednesdays and Thursday nights as we will talk all things Cyclones and Hawkeyes.
Jump over to bcdivide.com. Join us for daily banter and our social media pages at bcdivide. As brothers and fans of different teams, we grew up with a heated Cy-Hawk rivalry within our own family.
Join us at bcdivide.com to embrace the rivalry.
At Wolf Construction, we do many large construction projects across the Midwest, but we started as a roofing company and we're still a roofing company today. At Wolf Construction, we believe in honest work, a fair price, and work we stand behind. And our 10-year workmanship warranty proves it. We know roofing. With our one-day get-it-done approach, we're known as a roofing machine. Call Wolf Construction for a free estimate at 515-225-8866 or visit us on the web at wolfconstruction.net. At Wolf Construction, we take your roof personally.
If you're sick and tired of the same old delivery options, I have an idea for you. It's Food Dudes Delivery. Food Dudes Delivery delivers for restaurants that normally don't deliver food. And with over 50 restaurants across the metro, Food Dudes Delivery can find whatever you're craving. And for listeners of Jimmy B and TC, $2 off any order of $20 or more. Just use the coupon code JBTC. That's JBTC for $2 off your next order of $20 or more. Food Dudes Delivery. Online, Food Dudes Delivery.
You found your home for real sports talk for real sports fans. 1700 KBGG.
Welcome back, everybody. Jimmy B and TC here on the Big Talker 1700. We roll all the way till 6 o'clock tonight, and then we have NFL football. Good matchup, NFC East, Washington Redskins, Philadelphia Eagles. Right now, we're going to switch gears and go to college football. Tom Cakert, Hawkeye Report, is our guest. He's on the Draft House 50 hotline, Mills Civic Parkway in West Des Moines. Tommy, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Well, we're good. How is Iowa City right now and the fan base? They are not happy with that ugly performance at Northwestern.
Yeah, it's been an ugly stretch for Iowa, really. You know, even that North Texas game wasn't pretty. The obviously the three Big Ten losses. I know you can take something away from the Penn State game and feel good about that, I think, even in a loss, but even the Illinois game was dicey for almost three quarters of it. So, it's just been, they just haven't, I don't know. It's as a friend of mine said to me today, Iowa football has just become kind of tough to watch right now. And that's probably a fair thing to say.
It has, Tom, and offensively it's felt like they take even a further step back of what they had been able to do. You know, we talked last week, Northwestern, very good against the run. They'd slow down Saquon Barkley. They'd slow down Jonathan Taylor, two good running backs that they saw. And the game plan just kind of left you scratching your head. They had some success early on, but this is a team that was down to their fourth and fifth guys at cornerback, and they weren't able to throw the football effectively. We knew they weren't going to run the football very effectively. Just a clunky game overall. You chalk that up to Brian Ferentz, an early guy calling plays over there. Is there something deeper happening?
I'll separate it into two halves. I thought the first half was really good for Iowa, but what they didn't do was score points. I mean, they went for it on the fourth down, didn't get that. They missed a field goal. You know, you left probably 6 to 10 points on the field there, at least, I would think. And they had 238 yards of total offense, averaged 6.61 yards per play. But then in the second half, it just looked like Northwestern made some adjustments at halftime, which is what good coaches do. And Iowa just never found the right counter and ended up, with just 74 yards of total offense on 30 plays in the second half, average of 2.46 yards per play. And that's just, you saw what happened. They end up, not winning the ball game and not putting away. And, you know, I looked at some of the numbers and just looking at kind of on first downs where I was really struggling. They're like running the ball. They're like 3.1 yards carry. And last year at this time, or last year for the entire season, they were averaging 5.1 yards per carry on first downs. So it's just, it's been, they just can't get anything going on first down that puts them behind. And part of it too is field position. You have mistakes in the punt game again that leave the ball down there in the shadow of the goalpost. It just, it's a combination of a lot of things, but it's been tough to watch and kind of ugly for Iowa fans right now.
Tom, let me run this by you then. 33 rushes totaling 89 yards. That's dreadful. considering it's an Iowa team that prides itself on being a downhill running type team, and you know that. You've covered them for a long time. Brian Ferentz, is he in over his head? Did the old man say, hey, look, we're going to do it like this, and we're going to play real conservative? What happened here? Because a lot of people now are down on the offensive coordinator.
Yeah, I don't think it's a Brian thing. I really don't. And I know fans hate to say hear this, but a lot of it is execution. It really is. And a lot of it, you can look at the issues that are up front, and it's very simple. They went from two fifth-year tackles to start the season that you thought Boone Myers and Ike Bodker would be there. Ike tears his Achilles. Boone has the high ankle sprain. He's just not right, and I don't know that he'll be right the entire season. And you have to plug in two guys that are, one's a redshirt freshman, and the other one was playing, you know, against Solon High School last year at this time. And that's just a big hill to climb with two pretty important positions. I also think, and I've got zero evidence to back it up, but I'm just my eyeball test, James Daniels, it seems like he's hurt.
Yeah.
And he's not moving with the kind of the agility that you saw him the last 2 years when he was healthy. He's not able to get out there and run block the way he used to. He had the issue early in the year when he missed a game. So I think there's just something there with him too. So you're talking about two really young guys and your really good center is just not healthy. And that offensive line just has not gotten going this year. And as a result, when Iowa's offensive line is not good, Iowa's offense is not good. It's pretty simple.
You know, we've seen some positive development out of some young guys. You mentioned the tackles that are out there and gaining experience. This is still pretty overall a pretty young football team, but you know what the hope was into this year, maybe you can set up a case where November's important. That doesn't appear to be the case, at least as it pertains to the Big Ten West. So what's left to play for this year outside of getting to a bowl game? Now, what's the mantra for the squad now as they get ready for the final five games of the season?
Well, you got three trophy games coming up, and starting with one this weekend for a bronze pig. And I think that's important, and that's something you can rally around as a team, that you want to keep the trophies you have and get the one that went away last year. You want to get that one back. So I think that's a rally point. But you're right about the youth. I mean, you look at even the receiver position, and I'm not going to single out Noah because, I mean, that's just a tough thing. I mean, it happens. But it had four drops again this week, at least four, and, you know, maybe five if you count one other play, but may have been more defensive than anything else. But when you have those drops and you have the missed opportunities in your Iowa, and your margin of error is always pretty thin, you can't afford those type of mistakes. And it was costly again this week. And when you've got mistakes up front, when you got drop passes, it's just that margin slims up quite a bit for Iowa.
Tom Cakert is our guest on the Draft House 50 Hotline. Tom, I'm real curious about how they'll go about this Minnesota game. This one could be, because neither team is playing very good football, this could be even uglier than the Northwestern game. And when I think about it, their offense scores 10 points, scored 10 points against Michigan State. Could this be the first one that gets to 12, wins this game?
It might be. You look at three of the four Big Ten games, Iowa has not scored over 20 points so far. And
right.
That's not going to cut it. And that's a real concern, that the offense has to do their part. The defense did their part on Saturday. They really did. I thought they played, especially when you consider they didn't have Josie Jewell in the middle of that defense and Brandon Snyder's back out again. And they did their part. They played really well against a pretty decent Northwestern team with, you know, a really good running back and an experienced quarterback. And they did their part, but Iowa's offense has to score more than 20 points. I mean, the only team they've scored over in the Big Ten is against Illinois, and Illinois is not that great. So they've just got to, offensively, they have to pick it up.
So what's the buttons that they can push? What are they going to be able to do to get this offense rolling and get both the ground game and that passing game going at least in a further direction?
Boy, Brian Ferentz has to figure something out. I mean, I thought this past weekend that was adjustments by Northwestern. He had freely admitted during the bye week press conference that he kind of got taken to the woodshed by Michigan State, and his game plan wasn't good enough. And I appreciate Brian admitting those things, but that doesn't make it any easier for fans who, see a young guy learning on the job, and they want to see wins as well. So I don't know what buttons they can push. I know a lot of talk about Wadley in space, and maybe they need to try and get back to. I know that was the plan coming into the year, is try to get the ball to him in space and let him do his thing, and they have not been able to do that. But part of that is just the offensive line hasn't allowed it to happen. They're just not sustaining their blocks, and if he's getting the ball and trying to get it in space, and he's getting hit 3 yards behind the line of scrimmage, it's not really, you can have the best plans in the world, but if he's confronted by a linebacker and a safety at that point, it's not going to work.
Tom, before we let you run, let me switch to basketball. We saw over the weekend Kansas and Missouri played a game for relief and raised over $1 million for that. I see UNI is going to play Wisconsin, and there's no charge. It's just donations. Have you heard, is Iowa kind of looking into doing anything like that at all? Have you heard that?
I don't think they're going to, honestly, I don't think they're going to be able to just because of their schedule. They're playing an exhibition game this Friday, and then they've got one next Thursday. So they've got, Belmont Abbey next Thursday, and then they've got William Jewell coming in on Friday night, and then they start the season on the 10th. I just don't know where that window is that they could get in a game, and frankly, I'm not sure who they could play that would generate interest. I thought that was really cool what Missouri and Kansas did. I mean, that's just a great, great, great college basketball rivalry, and they don't play anymore. So it's pretty cool and unique. And I saw Nebraska play Mississippi State in an exhibition game, and I know some other places. I think it's really cool that Wisconsin and UNI are going to play. And it's really good that college basketball is doing this and raising some money to help out some really terrific causes. I know Wisconsin and Northern Iowa are doing it for Team Rubicon, which is former military veterans who are helping out with disaster relief. Yeah.
Well, good thing basketball season is here, Tom, right? I mean,
that's right. It's going to be playing out the string and see if you can get to the Music City Bowl, I guess, now, huh, Trent?
Nashville's great. I love Nashville. I would be there in a New York second. I would love to head down there. And maybe most importantly, we mentioned the youth of this team, just getting rid of that bowl stench. Not just that they have this big losing streak in a bowl game, but to go out there and the way that they've lost these football games, go out, beat somebody that's not very good, hey, that's fine. Just get rid of that stench that sits around with bowl games right now.
Absolutely. I mean, none of the guys on last year's team had won a bowl game. So none of the guys on this year's team have won a bowl game. They've gotten pantsed in every bowl game. So it'd be great if they can go somewhere and be competitive and perhaps get that ugly taste and get a win to end the season. But first things first, I got to get to 6 wins. And right now, nothing's guaranteed. They got to really take care of home as much as possible. I don't think the Ohio State thing is in the cards, but who knows? But then it means you got to get Minnesota, Purdue. When they're hitting a wall right now, they go to Rutgers and lose. And Nebraska, can you believe Nebraska is a 6-point dog against Purdue at Purdue? Who would have thought that before?
Yeah, amazing.
Season?
Yep. Amazing. Absolutely amazing the way it's flip-flopped around. Tommy, as always, thank you. You have a good day and a great week, pal.
Okay. Thanks for having me on, guys. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Tom.
Okay. Tom Cakert on the Draft House 50 hotline. You know, he's right. I mean, Iowa just has to focus in, Trent, and try to win a couple of games here just to get up to 6.
Well, it should start here. Minnesota is not a very good football team. You know,
I agree.
do what you're supposed to do, beat Purdue, maybe beat Nebraska, 7-5. He goes 7-5. That was a tick better than we both had him. We had him at 6-6, and then
6-6.
Yeah, yep. And then you know you have some hope for the future, but it just ended in such a thud, and just the fashion to lose to Northwestern like that. The offense just going in the tank in the second half. It was one of those games you get the big kick out of Rosino's, you get overtime, and then the way that it ends and Noah Fant dropping that football, it was just one of those days, and we've seen a lot of those against the Wildcats throughout the years.
Boy, you're not kidding with that. By the way, once again, we remind our listeners that you should be listening to us on Friday afternoon for damn sure, because Trent and I are on fire with our picks against the spread.
Jimmy B, you're ridiculous. You go 4-1 again this week. You had a downturn a week ago, but you come roaring back 4-1, and you are now 24-15-1 against the number. I'm giving winners, too. I'm 22-17-1. And we're not just picking, you know, a random Sun Belt game. We're picking the biggest games of the week in the NFL and in college. Five games every week. And Jim Brinson, you're hitting a ridiculous percentage. Can you continue? Are you confident?
I'm confident, yes. I don't know if people will believe in me because they know me and know what I stand for. But I'm confident, Trent. You know me. I like me.
Of course.
I'm good with what I'm doing right now.
Well, we're going to get back into the college football talk. Back to the Cyclones next. We'll talk Big 12 football. Pete Mundo from Heartland College Sports. He joins us coming up on the other side of Jimmy B and TC.
You found your home for real sports talk for real sports fans. 1700 KBGG.
Villaggio Italian Restaurant brings real homemade Italian to you. Fantastic food, great service, and an elegant vibe that feels like home. All your favorites from the original in Norwalk and an expanded menu with the newest location on 100th Street in Urbandale. Plus, one of the best happy hours in the metro from 3 to 6 each weekday. When you're thinking Italian, make it Villaggio. Pizza, pasta, sandwiches, and more. Two locations, Sunset Drive in Norwalk and 100th Street in Urbandale. Villaggio Italian Restaurant.
Guys, are you ready to begin your journey to live life better? Are you feeling tired and worn down, or looking to improve performance and drive in the bedroom? Looking to burn fat and gain muscle? Then it's time to contact New Leaf Wellness. New Leaf Wellness offers a free, no-obligation consultation. Dr. Robert Seaman and the New Leaf staff will help craft a plan dedicated to you. From testosterone replacement therapy, advanced weight loss, to nutritional therapy, New Leaf Wellness strives to find the plan that will improve your quality of life. Dr. Robert Seaman and New Leaf Wellness. Give them a call today at 515-650-1358. Again, 515-650-1358 for New Leaf Wellness. One more time, 515-650-1358. It's time to live life better with New Leaf Wellness. Call 515-650-1358. That's 515-650-1358.
Sponsored by Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer. Still taking your child's temperature the same way it was done decades ago? Upgrade to the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer. Don't delay. Pick one up at your local club warehouse or other fine retailers.
Need a new heating system? Let the Home Depot do it for you. Our licensed professionals will do the job right. And now get up to $1,600 via online rebate when you purchase and install a new heating and cooling system through the Home Depot. Call 1-800-HOME-DEPOT or visit homedepot.com/HVAC to get started. Valid on in-home sales between October 19th and November 15th, and installations completed and paid in full by December 15th, 2017. License number BC147263.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's you, Jamie. Guess where you are right now? The Progressive Service Center in Tamarack, Florida. We've now officially visited every single service center in the country. I know, they all said, don't you want to do something more exciting with your vacation days? Hello? Full service and guaranteed repairs? Sir, can you take my picture next to the claims estimator? Yes, I'm serious.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Service centers not available in all areas. Consumers have a choice of repair facilities.
Running low on the stuff you need? Time for a Target run. We're here for all the big moments and the little ones, too. Like something to eat before the big trick-or-treat. Get Red Baron frozen pizza on sale for $2.99 each. Or picture time. Polish those pearly whites with Crest Complete toothpaste for just $2.99. Plus, we've lowered prices on hundreds of Market Pantry and Up and Up items like soup, baking essentials, vitamins, and more. Target run and done. Pricing may vary. Restrictions may apply.
Picture this. It's Monday afternoon and you're at Domino's buying a large three-topping pizza. You give the Domino's employee $7.99 plus tax, of course. Now, picture this. It's Friday and you're at Domino's buying a large three-topping pizza. You give the Domino's employee more than you paid Monday. You feel bamboozled. But then, you hear this.
Domino's extended its $7.99 large three-topping carryout deal to all day, every day.
And so you danced and ate Domino's. Carryout only. You must ask for this limited time offer. Prices, participation, and charges may vary.
Since 1993, Wolf Construction has been Des Moines' choice for residential and commercial roofing. From complete re-roofing to small leaks, call Wolf Construction at 225-8866 for your roofing needs. Call 225-8866 to set up your roofing consultation or online at wolfconstruction.net. That's wolfconstruction.net for Wolf Construction. A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. wolfconstruction.net.
Real sports talk for real sports fans. It's Jimmy V and TC. Here's Jim and Trent.
Welcome back, everybody. We roll all the way till 6 o'clock. We've got a great NFL Monday night game immediately following our broadcast when we end at 6. It is the Eagles matched up against the Redskins. Joining us right now, Pete Mundo, CBS, and also Big 12 Heartland College Sports. It's always good when Pete takes a few minutes and joins our show. He comes to us on the Draft House 50 Hotline, Mills Civic Parkway in West Des Moines. Pete, good afternoon, pal.
Hey, guys. Always great to be with you.
Let's begin where, at least in our area, it is Iowa State, Iowa State, Iowa State, and a monster matchup this Saturday hosting TCU. And, Pete, it is the battle for the number one spot in the Big 12. I'm sure that most people never saw this coming.
Well, it's just hearing you say that just it sends some chills down my spine to think that we're sitting here in mid-late October now. You know, it's going to be November next week, and we're talking about Iowa State hosting TCU with first place on the in the Big 12 on the line. It's absolutely amazing, and it's a testament to what Matt Campbell has done with this program in year two and how these guys have just absolutely bought in absolutely everything that he is selling. Yes, there's a lot of holdovers from the Paul Rhodes era. These aren't all Matt Campbell's guys. But you know what? You got to coach these guys up, too. And that's something that any time you have a detractor from any coaching staff, and they say, well, you know, this guy won with the predecessor's players. It doesn't matter. The predecessor was not winning with those guys. This current coach coached them up, got them to buy in. And over the summer at Big 12 Media Days, I'll never forget, I talked to multiple Iowa State players. And they all said that the atmosphere around this team, they were so much more cohesive as a unit. They were so much more just felt like a team. The unity was there that was not there in previous seasons. And that is all the credit in the world to the head coach.
You know, Pete, the thing and the takeaway from this for me is this will be the first ranked matchup between two ranked teams at Jack Trice since 2002 when Nebraska came to town. We haven't seen this in a long, long time. And it's not like Iowa State is doing this with, you know, some kind of gimmick, some kind of gadget. They're just going out playing fundamentally sound football and beating good teams and beating two good teams on the road in Texas Tech and Oklahoma. That's the surprising part. You know, we see teams get on runs and get a couple of bounces go their way. That's not the case here. They're just going and beating good football teams.
Yeah, they are, Trent. It's not like they played a cupcake schedule, and it's, you know, it pains me to say, but you think about this team, they should be 6-1.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
They should have won that Iowa game. We all know that. That's the only mistake of Matt Campbell's season. The mistakes down the stretch in that Iowa game from a play-calling perspective were not good, and they were too conservative. But this team should be 6-1. Either way, 5-2, it's incredible the job that he's done. And this has a big game feel to it, and that's something that I didn't think we'd be saying in year two of Matt Campbell. And I thought it was possible. I mean, we saw what Bill Snyder did at Kansas State 25 years ago. It is possible. I did not think we'd be sitting here in year two, never mind with Kyle Kemp, quarterback, a guy most of us hadn't heard of as of 3 weeks ago.
But here we are, and it is as exciting a time as you can have in Ames, and the fans there deserve it.
Pete, take me then to TCU. We know Gary Patterson. He's been doing it there for years. He's gone to the Rose Bowl and won. He's gone to the Fiesta Bowl and won. Look, the guy is a terrific coach. Generally has a pretty stout defense. This year, no real exception. But it seems to me it's the renaissance of Hill the quarterback that they picked up off the scrap heap after Texas A&M that has really kind of turned TCU now into this undefeated powerhouse. Are you with me on that, or do you see something else?
Well, I see something else from the standpoint that I Kenny Hill finally matured. And it took him years from his Texas A&M days, but he finally matured. And what he realized is Gary Patterson realized Kenny Hill's good, but Kenny Hill's not going to be a Big 12 championship, and Kenny Hill is not going to take you to a college football playoff. He's just not. So he realized with Doug Meacham leaving for Kansas as offensive coordinator, Sonny Cumbie in charge. Patterson complained about this last year. He thought the team was throwing the ball too much. I like the spread air raid elements of this offense that Cumbie and Meacham brought to the team a couple of years ago. But it's still got to be a team that relies heavily on the running game and has a fantastic defense and utilizes those strengths. So that's what this team is all about. Kyle Hicks and Darius Anderson in the backfield, and then open things up for Kenny Hill, who's not throwing for traditionally the 5 touchdowns a game, although he did have a great game against Kansas, although who doesn't?
yeah.
But he is relying on the running game to then set up an efficient passing game. That might mean 1 or 2 touchdowns, but more importantly, it means no interceptions. And that is what Kenny Hill was known for over the last several years was, yeah, he could throw 5 touchdowns, but he'd also make that big mistake. Kenny Hill's not making that big mistake. TCU is the top in the conference in turnover margin, and he's completing nearly 70% of his passes.
Well, we're going to guess that Iowa State's going to get a little bit more than 21 yards of total offense, like the Jayhawks did, but how do you beat this TCU defense?
I really believe that the best, you know, think about who they played. Oklahoma State, who was banged up on the offensive line, couldn't do it. I think the best way to get by this TCU defense is screen passes with David Montgomery and finding the soft spot in the middle of the defense. Also, you have to have your offensive line playing a great game. I don't think you're going to beat this team down the field throwing 20-yard bombs. First off, they are going to get to the quarterback quickly because they have great speed at defensive end, Ben Banigou and some of the other guys. So you can't beat them having your quarterback sit in the pocket for 3, 4, 5 seconds. At the same time, it's going to be tough to run the ball because they are a great run defense. So I think it's going to be short routes on the outside to guys like Trevor Ryan, Alan Lazard. It's going to be having David Montgomery, go 5 yards and dump it down to him and just slowly and methodically try to break down the TCU defense and try to wear them down. That seems to me to be the most effective way to try to get by these guys.
All right. Do you see this then as a game that there are points on the board? Is it like 31-27, 31-28, or is it going to be 20-17?
My hunch is that it's a pretty defensively stout game. I mean, you look at Iowa State's defense. Those guys have been no joke the last few weeks. Even holding a healthy Oklahoma team to 31 points, that's a major success. I think this could definitely be one of those 24-17, maybe 27-17 type of games where both teams are held under 30 points, which these days in the Big 12, that's a pretty low-scoring game. That's like the Big Ten playing in the single digits. So I think both these teams will end up under the 30-point mark, and it's going to be a pretty stout defensive matchup.
Pete, before we let you run, one more on the Big 12, Oklahoma State at West Virginia, another big one happening this weekend. Certainly not getting the headlines that it is out across the country here, the state of Iowa with TCU and Iowa State. What do you see with the Cowboys and the Mountaineers?
Yeah, it's essentially an elimination game in the Big 12. Mm-hmm. And for the Cowboys, it's an elimination game for the college football playoff, although every game from here on out is for Oklahoma State. There is zero margin for error for that team. West Virginia's bothered me a little bit. I can't figure them out. You know, they give up 23 points in the fourth quarter and nearly lose that game to Baylor last week on the road. I mean, it was a total mess. They're up 25, and they almost let it slip away. Whereas Oklahoma State looked just as bad offensively against Texas last week and barely won that. Should have lost that game. You know, Sam Ellinger throws a big pick in overtime as they were inside the 5-yard line. Touchdown would have won them the game. So these are two teams that are just not playing up to their potential. So it's going to be fascinating to see which one steps up this week. My hunch says it's Oklahoma State because that West Virginia defense has been leaky at times, especially in the secondary, and they'll finally figure it out. While on the other side, their defense has been pretty good. But playing in Morgantown's never easy. Will Grier, the most underrated quarterback in America, and that's going to be a great game.
We'll let you run on this. Texas, where are you on Texas? Are they just a roller coaster ride first year under Tom Herman, and it appears that their quarterback is hurt again?
Yeah, it's a problem right now in Texas because you follow what's going on there, and there's a lot of disgruntled people around that program. Yes, you can sit there and say, well, they've had a lot of close losses to some of the top teams in the country like USC. Well, I'm not sure how good USC is after their disaster against Notre Dame. USC, Oklahoma State, that's all well and good. You know, Charlie Strong had a lot of moral victories, too. He played a lot of teams close. That's not why you don't keep your job at Texas playing good teams close. I know it's only year one under Tom Herman, but I'm sorry. He's got a lot of talent, and this was the year people said Charlie Strong was supposed to have a breakout season with his guys. It was why a lot of us, myself included, argued that Charlie Strong deserved the 2017 season because his fantastic recruiting classes were becoming sophomores, juniors, and seniors. So Tom Herman can say, you know, I don't have my guys, but he has no shortage of talent, and that offense has been a mess. Under Tim Beck, I mean, they're running Sam Ellinger 20 times a game, and now the guy's in concussion protocol. They've got to go back to Shane Bouchel. I know it's close losses, but that team, they've got to win this weekend against Baylor to even most likely make a bowl game. I don't like where the Longhorns are right now, and I just think, you know, as much as it's been close games, they've underachieved.
Pete, as always, great catching up with you. Pete Mundo, Heartland College Sports. Great place to go for Big 12 conversation. Thanks, Pete. We'll talk to you again soon.
Anytime, guys. Take care.
That's Pete Mundo with
all
us.
All right, that's, yeah.
On the Draft House 50 hotline. All right, Jimmy B, we'll come back, and we got some more Big 12 talk and some Big 10 with Zubin Mehente. What do you think?
Always like having Zubin on the show. We kind of get that national perspective on everything. And I think we should maybe, since we only get him on a Monday, World Series starts tomorrow, Trent.
Ah.
We should probably throw a World Series question at him, don't you think?
Absolutely. Stros and the Dodgers. And Jimmy B, you were beating your chest about your picks last week as you went 4-1 in football. You do
yes.
remember who had the Houston Astros bringing home the crown back in March, right?
Yes, it was a little portly gentleman who sits across the desk from me. His name is Mr. Condon, Mr. Trent Trojan.
That's right.
Yes, I know him. Yes, I know him. Mm-hmm. And you were dead right. Absolutely spot on, pal.
Well, I had to play the Nationals, so not exactly right. But, hey, it's still alive.
Hey.
At least for a few more days. We'll come back on the other side. We got Zubin Mehente from ESPN. He'll kick things off next as we take you up until 6 o'clock. It's Jimmy B and TC.
Hey, it's Tiki Barber.
And Brandon Tierney.
We are Tiki and Tierney, giving you the big scoop on all the games. Afternoons on the Big Talker, 1700 KBGG. Boom!
It's football season, and that means it is time to find your spot for all the big games. Trent Cotton here for Draft House 50 on Mills Civic Parkway in West Des Moines. 48 big screen TVs, all the games on college Saturdays, and the NFL on Sundays. Draft House 50 in West Des Moines. But it's not just about having all the great games on. You need more than that. You need great food. Draft House 50 has just that. Huge burgers. My favorite, the pizza burger. Ground beef, Italian sausage, mozzarella cheese, little marinara, and pepperoni. Big burgers, great sandwiches, pizza. You want to go with the lighter fare? They got salads and appetizers for you as well. And you can't forget about the beer. It's in the name, Draft House 50. Local beers on tap, microbrews, whatever you're in the mood for, make it Draft House 50 in West Des Moines. Your football headquarters, Draft House 50, 6240 Mill Civic Parkway in West Des Moines. I'll see you there.
Sponsored by AccountTemps. Do you need accounting and finance expertise? Call AccountTemps. They can provide accounting and finance consultants when and where you need them. Visit AccountTemps.com to learn more. AccountTemps, a Robert Half company.
Kevin Harlan and Boomer Esiason here from Monday Night Football on Westwood One. It's a great matchup for you as Carson Wentz and the Philadelphia Eagles take on Kirk Cousins and the Washington Redskins. Boomer, these two already have met in week one with the Eagles prevailing. What do you think in round two?
Kevin, this is old school NFC East football. Both have rough and tumble defenses that are quick and punish the opposing team's quarterbacks. And speaking of quarterbacks, how about Carson Wentz and what he's done for the Eagles? And of course, Kirk Cousins, who's bet on himself, playing on a one-year contract and playing like he deserves every cent, if not a long-term deal, from the Washington Redskins. So much to see, so much to like, so much to look forward to.
All right, Boomer, it's NFC East action as the 5-1 Eagles take on the 3-2 Redskins on Monday Night Football.
Remember to listen to Westwood One's coverage of the NFL all season long. Right here on the Big Talker, 1700 KBGG.
Need auto parts? Get them with a click at the new O'ReillyAuto.com. Shop online and we'll ship the order to your home, or you can pick it up for free at the O'Reilly Auto Parts store nearest you. The choice is yours. Shop the way that's convenient for you and get the exact parts you need to get the job done right. O'ReillyAuto.com. Parts for your car wherever you are.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
The Home Depot now has LifeProof vinyl plank flooring starting at just $279 a square foot. The warm look of wood flooring with a surface that's tough, scratch-resistant, and completely 100% waterproof. So, if life brings you things that scratch or things that spill, you'll be completely 100% worry-proof. And that is a beautiful feeling. LifeProof vinyl plank flooring starting at only $279 a square foot. Only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. U.S. only. See store for details.
At Wolf Construction, we do many large construction projects across the Midwest, but we started as a roofing company, and we're still a roofing company today. At Wolf Construction, we don't just show up with a dumpster and trailer in your driveway. We arrive with a business card in hand, ready to take care of your home. Whether it's a simple roof repair, a complete re-roofing project, or a new construction project, Wolf Construction can handle the job. Call Wolf Construction at 515-225-8866 or visit us on the web at wolfconstruction.net. We're a roofing machine.
Are you in the mood for real, classic, homemade Italian food? Well, I have the spot for you. It's Villaggio. Two locations. The newest location in Urbandale, 2675 100th Street. The original in Norwalk. Classic dishes like cavatelli, spaghetti, lasagna, and vodka rigatoni. Top-notch pizza and awesome sandwiches. A great happy hour and Italian.